want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. How many of us have ever faced some kind of a trial or a problem in life? How many of us haven't? I want to see that hand because I need to talk to you. I want to know what that would be like, how you've accomplished that. I want to talk to you today about temporary trials and eternal glory. Temporary trials and eternal glory. It's no secret to any of us that, you know what, during this life we're going to face trials. We're going to have hard times. There are going to be difficult days. There are sometimes going to be days of disappointment. And being or becoming a Christian, you know what? Can I just tell you a secret? Becoming a Christian doesn't make us immune from those. I know we seem to have this, some people have this kind of panacea view of Christianity where if you just give your heart and life to Jesus, all your problems will go away. That's one of the biggest lies I've ever heard in my life. You say, well, that's not very good news. The good news is that even though we have trials, we don't have to face them alone. And the good news is that even though we face trials and problems and temptations and hardships, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we can get through them. And we can come out stronger on the other side. You see, we have a power we didn't have before. If we're Christians, we have a power to face the trials and temptations that we never had before, and that's the power of Jesus. It's the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Isn't that a neat thought? We don't understand it all. If you do understand it all, once again, raise your hand, because once again, I want to talk to you, because I you can let me in on some secrets. So I want us to think about some of the trials and glory as we read this passage of Scripture. I want to start with verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Paul writes and he says, "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. We who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, 'I believed, therefore I have spoken.' And with that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Lord, I pray your blessing on the reading and the preaching of your word today. In Jesus' name. Amen. The treasure. We have this treasure in jars of clay or earthen vessels. The treasure Paul speaks of in verse 7 is the power and the presence of Christ. And we have that treasure, we have that power contained in our earthen vessels or these jars of clay. Of course, that means that's our human body. And God works in that way so that there's never a mistake or there's never a misunderstanding about where the power in our lives comes from. God takes these fragile, cracked, messed up, sometimes disfigured earthen vessels and jars of clay, and he sticks his glory and his power inside of us so that it can pour out, it can leak out, it can come out, and people can see it, but never never make the mistake of thinking that the power that is at work is mine or yours. It's God's. It's this power. It's this power that we're going to need when we're confronted with trials and temptations. Because whatever power and ability we have will not get us through. It won't get us through the battle. So when we think about these temporary trials and eternal glory, I need to ask us a few questions. What kind of trials are we talking about? What types of trials will we face? And Paul gives us four different situations or scenarios here, I guess, four different levels of trial, if you want to look at it that way, that he tells us about. And the first one is this. He said, we're hard-pressed on every side. We are hard-pressed on every side. Now, what does that mean? What that means is that circumstances and situations in life sometimes seem to overwhelm us. The trials come from every side and every direction. They completely surround us, it seems like. They might be in the form of personal friendships. It might be in the form of family relationships. That trial might come in the form of a financial hardship or a need. It might come in the form of physical sickness or injury. See, we all know what this is like. We all know what it's like to face these kinds of trials. None of us are immune from that. We all face that in our human life. Sometimes it seems like they just keep piling up. You ever have that feeling? It's just one thing after another. It's just one thing after another. I can't remember exactly what all was going on this day. But I do remember when we lived in Champaign, when we were pastoring the church in Champaign, there were just a series of events that had happened, people that we found out about being sick and people that, I don't remember, but it was that day. It was that day that I was getting ready to walk out of the house and go to the office. Blenda looked at me and she said, you need to know. She said, if you haven't heard yet, you need to know. Denzel was in a car accident today and it doesn't look good. Denzel was a friend of mine. Denzel Wall was a friend of mine. He was a pastor in the Wesleyan Church. I met him when he was in college and I was still in high school, and we developed a friendship. He became a mentor to me in ministry. And it was one of those days where, you know what, things just kept, you know, this layer and then this layer and then this layer and then this layer. And finally, when she talked to me and told me that, I said, you know what? Can't we just have a little bit of good news? She said, I know the feeling. It was because it was one of those days. It was one of those weeks. Everything just kept piling up. And about the time you think it can't get any worse, don't ever say that. Whether it's friendly advice or pastoral advice, it couldn't get any worse. Don't say that. All right? Because sooner or later, we're going to find out that it could. Hard-pressed on every side. It seems like life just surrounds us. And not only does it surround us, but then it starts pressing in. And then we start feeling the pressure and we start feeling the strain. And we start asking ourselves, is there any way out of this? They seem never-ending. And why does it seem that way? Here's why. Because Satan is going to use everyday common things to try to break us and destroy us. But I want you to understand something today, that the trial and the problem isn't never ending. And as hard pressed as it seems, as much pressure as we seem to be under, I want you to understand something. It's only temporary. It's only temporary. I'm not trying to make light of it, and I'm not trying to say it's not important. And I'm not trying to say the trial and the problem isn't real, but we need to understand this. It's temporary. Why do I say that? Because Paul goes on to say this, even though we're hard pressed on every side, we are not crushed. We are not crushed. Even though it may seem like we're completely surrounded, it might seem like we're completely cornered, it might seem like there's no way out, but that's not the case. We don't have to allow ourselves to be driven to the point of surrender. We do not have to be in a place spiritually where when the trials come our way, we just give up so easily and we're not willing to fight through them. Remember what 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. No matter what problem, no matter what trial, no matter what hardship, no matter what temptation is coming up against us, and no matter how much pressure it seems to put on us and how closely it seems to be closing in, there's always a way out if we're willing to look for it and if we're willing to fight for it. Scripture tells us he will always provide a way of escape. Now listen, it is true. It is true that God allows us to be tested. He allows us to be tempted, but he also places limits on the enemy to the extent of the test or the temptation. How do I know that? Because I remember the story of Job. If you read in Job chapter 1, you'll find there was like this great celestial meeting with God and his angels and different people. And somehow or another, in the midst of this meeting, the presence of the enemy shows up. And God asks Satan, he says, "Where have you been?" He goes, "Well, I've been out roaming to and fro. I've been out checking. I've been out bothering people. I've been out causing problems." The conversation goes on. And at some point, God asks him, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And yeah, well, you've got a hedge of protection built around him so thick nobody can get to him. So the enemy challenged God and said, "But if you, I can tell you this, if you would remove that hedge of protection, I can get him to turn on you." God said, "Okay. You can test or you can tempt Job," but he put limitations on what Satan can do to him. He said, "You can't touch him physically. You can't kill him. You can't take his life. You can't do this or you can't do that." And we went through, if you read the book of Job, you'll see we go through all these different levels of temptation and test. He loses his family. His children are killed. His homes are destroyed. His livestock, everything he owned is destroyed. When it comes down to it, what does Job have left? He has him and his wife, and Job even has the boils and all the other physical ailments that God has allowed Satan to test him with. But in all of that, it says Job did not sin against God. God allows us to face hard times, but he's not going to allow us to be tempted to the point where we can't find a way out. God wants us to be successful in living this Christian life, and he's always going to be there for us. He doesn't leave us. He never forsakes us, but that doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. Hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. He goes on to say we are perplexed. Perplexed. And what does that mean? You ever been perplexed? It can mean confused. It can mean that we're at a loss. It can mean we don't know what to think about something. We can find ourselves uncertain about situations and circumstances. This is where I think the why syndrome comes in. This is that trial in life where we begin to ask all the questions, why? God, why does this have to happen? Why did that have to happen? Why did this person get cancer? Why did this person die of a stroke? Why was this person in this car accident? Why? Why do bad things happen to good people? Here's why. Because good people go to hell too. See, what do you mean by that? What I mean by that is this. I think sometimes, I believe with all my heart, sometimes God allows things to happen that kind of put us on edge, or he allows things to happen maybe that turn our lives upside down so that we will begin to look for answers to our questions and we'll turn to him to find them. You say, "Well, that's kind of a dirty trick." I don't think so. I think that's grace. You think trials are grace? I think trials are grace if a temporary trial gets me to the place of repentance where I become an eternal child of God. Be confused. We can ask questions. And I think God allows questions to arise so that we'll start looking for those answers. We must always remember that God is not the source or cause or the author of confusion. And he's not the cause of our temptation. Even though he allows us to be tempted, Scripture in James tells us that God tempts no one. What's the difference between a test and a temptation? A test is always meant to make you stronger. A temptation is designed to cause you to fail. A test is designed to make you stronger. A temptation is designed to make you fail. Always remember the difference. If you're facing something in life that is causing you to quit or trying to get you to do something you know goes against the will of God, that does not come from God, because God will never get you to do that. He'll never try to get you to do that. But this state of being confused or perplexed is also temporary. How do I know? Because Paul goes on to say that we're not in despair. Even though we're perplexed, we're not in despair. Despair is the base word for desperate. Desperate. You ever been desperate? What happens when we get desperate? When we get desperate, we begin to take matters into our own hands. We begin to try to find our own solutions. Can I just tell you something? That doesn't usually end well. Doesn't usually end well if we begin to trust ourselves. The state of despair is often where we turn to things that can become addictive and harmful. It might be drugs. It might be alcohol. It might be sexual promiscuity. It might even be suicide or thoughts of suicide. Those are the types of feelings, and those are the types of things we turn to when we become desperate and when we think there's no hope, when we think that all is lost. Paul says we're not in despair. Why? Because we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Some situations can make us feel helpless, but we must never mistake helpless for hopeless. Don't ever mistake being helpless for things being hopeless. We cannot ever allow ourselves in the heat of a moment to make what could prove to be an eternal mistake or decision. Perplexed, we're confused, but we're not in despair. Things are not, we cannot allow ourselves to get to the point where we have to take things in our own hands and we don't trust God. He goes on to say we're persecuted. That's another type of trial. This word in the context of this scripture means to be pursued or hunted down by the enemy. It means to be constantly hounded or harassed. And Satan looks for a moment or an area of weakness. And once he finds a weakness, he bombards it. He pounces on it. He hits us with everything he's got. The temptations and seemingly endless trials and hardships are going to keep coming when Satan finds that point of weakness, because he's going to try to capitalize on it. The Bible tells us that Satan's like a roaring lion. He's roaming and searching for another victim to overtake or devour. I say hold on. I say hold on, because help is on the way. And even this state of persecution is only temporary. How do I know that? Because Paul goes on to say that we're not forsaken. Even though we're persecuted, we're not forsaken. What does that mean? We're not left alone. God does not abandon his children. Especially when the battle seems the fiercest, we need to remember what Isaiah chapter 59 verse 19 says. It says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. You know what this means? Do you know what this really means? When we get to the point that we're persecuted and we feel like maybe we're edging closer and closer to that point of despair, when we get to the point where we can't fight anymore, when we get to the point where we just don't have the strength to carry on, when we get to the point where we think the battle is lost, God steps in and raises a standard against the enemy and he fights for us. When David went up against Goliath, what did he say? He said, the battle's not mine. And you know what? I think God wants us to understand. I think maybe more than anything, God wants us to get to the point where we understand that the battle is not ours. It's his. God steps in and steps up. He fights for us. He's not going to walk away from us. He's not going to leave us. He'll not forsake us. So we can't afford to walk away from him. The battle, the trial is temporary, but God's presence and power is eternal. He finally goes on to say, we're struck down. We're struck down. At some point during our battles and trials, we might get knocked down. I used to watch boxing. Believe it or not, I used to actually enjoy watching boxing. I remember watching boxing during the Olympics years and years ago when a guy named Evander Holyfield was an amateur boxer in the Olympics. Everybody was talking about what a great future he had, and he did. I remember I couldn't wait. This was before pay-per-view and all that kind of stuff. And I couldn't wait for the time when Evander Holyfield went up against Mike Tyson for the first time for the world title. You know what Evander Holyfield said? Something to the effect that the first time Mike Tyson hit me, I thought it was over. I mean, he said the first time Mike Tyson hit me, he said, I've never been hit that hard before in my life. But he fought through it. Of course, now, you know, you've seen the Facebook meme, you know, going around. The second time the two of those fought, you know, with the face mask. You know, Mike Tyson or Evander Holyfield can't wear a face mask to protect himself from COVID because, you know, there's a joke going around about how it's so you can't hook it on his ear because Mike Tyson bit part of his ear off in that second round, that second boxing match. We're struck down. Sometimes we fall down. Sometimes we get knocked down. Sometimes we might trip. And once again, that's because Satan's using everything that he has to distract us and to get us off of course. He'll use people. He'll use relationships. And he'll drag us and knock us down. He'll use failure and disappointment. But hold on. It's only temporary. How do I know? Because Paul says even though we get struck down, we're not destroyed. If you get knocked down, you know what? Get right back up. Doesn't matter how many times we fall. It doesn't matter how many times we get knocked down. What matters is how many times we get back up. It comes down to the attitude and determination. Author and pastor John Maxwell says this, it's not what happens to you that's important. It's what happens in you. It's what happens in you. Our attitude means everything. We might get knocked down, but the only way we're destroyed is if we stay down. We might slip and fall along the way, but the only way we fail is if we quit. We can't ever quit. We can never give up. Because if we give up, we lose. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. Second question I asked when looking at this passage of Scripture, how do we overcome them? How do we overcome the trials? The first way is by faith. We overcome trials by faith. Here, verse 13, I believed, therefore I have spoken. And with that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore we speak because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us up with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. I believed. And it's with that same spirit of faith, Paul says, that we believe. See, we must realize that everything we face is ultimately for our benefit. You think, boy, I'm not sure how this is doing me any good right now. I'm not sure how it's doing me any good. How can this be for my benefit? Paul tells us, all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow. You see, the trials we go through are for our benefit to make us stronger and help us come out on top, but they're also for the benefit of someone else, because what happens? What happens when the people around us see us going through these trials? What happens when people around us see us going through hardship and they see us come out of it victoriously? You know what happens? Inevitably, someone's going to come to you at some point in time and are going to say, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you keep going with all the bad stuff that's happened to you lately. I don't know. I don't understand how you're able to keep just going on. That's when we're able to tell them. It's because of my faith and my trust in God. And my God's bigger than my trials or my problems. The The second way we overcome trials is by keeping the proper focus. Verse 18 tells us to fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. That's faith. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, believing what you can't see. What is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Keep the proper focus. When Peter got out of the boat to walk on the water in the middle of the storm, he was doing fine until what? He took his eyes off Jesus and looked over at the wave. And then he started to sink. We got to keep the proper focus. And then he says we don't lose heart. Therefore, we do not lose heart. What does that mean? It means not to grow weary. It means to endure or persevere. It means to do, as the old timers used to say, you keep on keeping on. No matter what, you just keep going. Don't let the hardships and temptations and problems and difficulties stop us along the journey. Finally, what's the result? What's the outcome or the result of overcoming the trials? Verse 17 tells us our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Now, once again, I'm not making light. I'm not saying what we face in life isn't real, it's not difficult, it's not hard, or it doesn't hurt. I'm not saying that at all. But Paul says, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Whatever trials, whatever hardship, whatever confusion you're facing, whatever persecution we might be facing today, all those things are temporary. We have to stand strong. We can't quit. We can't give up. We can't give the devil a foothold. Don't give him the satisfaction of thinking that he's defeated us. The eternal reward and glory that awaits us is more than worth the fight and the struggle. What glory? What glory is there that awaits us? I got to thinking about that. There is a glory that awaits anyone and everyone who overcomes the trials and problems. And I thought about that word overcomes, and I knew that in the book of Revelation, it tells us about being overcomers. So can I just share with you what we have to look forward to if we stay faithful and overcome our trials? Revelation 2:7 says, "For him who overcomes, he will eat from the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God." Revelation chapter 2, verse 11 says, "To him who overcomes, I will give him the crown of life. He will not be hurt by the second death." Revelation 2, 17 says, "To him who overcomes, I will give him hidden manna to eat and a white stone with a new name that only he can know." Revelation 2:26 through 28 says, "To him who overcomes, I will give him power over the nations and will give him the morning star." Revelation 3:5 says, "To him who overcomes, I will clothe him in white garments and will confess his name before the Father and his angels." "To him who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven. And I will write on him my new name," according to Revelation 3:12. And finally, Revelation chapter 3, verse 21 says, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." Wow. I will grant him to sit with me on my throne. So let me ask us a question this morning. When we think about the eternal glory that awaits us as overcomers. Don't we think fighting our trials and temptations and problems through to the end is worth it? Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Keep your eyes fixed, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I don't know what you're facing today. I know there's been a lot of, as we said during our prayer time, there's been a lot of grief. There's been a lot of loss. There are a lot of people hurting. There have been financial hardships. There have been family relationship problems. There have been all kinds of things going on. Just a few that I know about, but here's what I want to tell you. In the midst of everything going on, we have to always understand and always remember that it's temporary. There's a way out. God has a solution to whatever we're facing. But we have to trust in Him and let Him fight the battle. Maybe there's someone here this morning who says, Pastor, I have a battle that I've been fighting, but I'm ready now. I'm ready to give it to God. I'm ready to let Him take over. I don't know if there's something you could play just for a few minutes. I really feel like maybe there's someone here who would like to pray this morning and just say, I'm done. I'm done fighting this battle on my own. I'm ready to give it to God. I don't want to give up. I want to achieve the eternal glory that comes from overcoming my trials. Let's stand together for a few moments. Would you just stand, bow your heads, close your eyes. Maybe there's just someone here. Father, Heavenly Father, if there's anyone here this morning who would just say, Lord, I'm ready to give it to You. I feel overwhelmed. God, I've come to a point in my life where I don't know what to do. I don't know what the answer is. I'm desperate. I'm ready to let You fight the battle for me. Because I want to see You face to face one day. And when I see You face, I want to hear You say, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter in. My joys are Yours. God, we love You today. We are so thankful for Your grace. We're so thankful for Your love. For the promises in Your word. And Lord, may we take Your words with us this week. May we be encouraged. May we be strengthened. And may we never forget or lose sight of our eternal reward with You when our life here is ended. God, I pray You'd be with us as we leave this place, as we go our separate ways, as we go through another week. I pray for the services next week with Greg Hager. The Saturday, the picnic, God, I pray that it would be a time of reaching out to our community and our friends. And then our time here together next Sunday. God, I just pray that Your Spirit would go before us. And may we be an example of Your love and Your grace to other people. Thank You. In Jesus' name.